When Debbie contacted me about working with her and Dr. Shaw in writing this book, I was immediately interested. Interested first because I was thrilled to hear that Dr. Shaw had been using the five love languages in his counseling with those who were walking the Alzheimer's journey. Secondly, I was interested because as a pastoral counselor, I have counseled many families who have taken this unwanted journey. On the personal side, I have watched my brother-in-law, who was a brilliant university professor, steadily decline to late-stage Alzheimer's disease. I have felt deeply for his wife, who kept him at home as long as she could, and then made the hard decision to place him in a long-term care facility. Their adult children have experienced the grief of the pre-death loss of their dad. I have been very encouraged as I have sat in on several of Dr. Shaw's support groups for caregivers. Most of these groups have been composed of spouses of the Alzheimer's patients. Their dedication to intentional, sacrificial love has amazed me. The smiles on their faces when they receive a small, loving response from their spouses reflect their deep satisfaction in what they are doing. Then, when the patient is no longer capable of responding, to see their spouses choosing to continue expressing love in all five love languages, hoping that at least for a moment they will feel loved, is so rewarding. One wife said, "I continue loving for myself as much as for my husband. When the end comes, I want to look back and have no regrets." Almost everyone agrees that the deepest emotional need we have is the need to love and be loved. When one becomes incapable of giving love, I believe they are still capable of receiving love. I first discovered this in the nursing home where my mother lived the last year of her life. When I would walk down the hallway, lined with wheelchairs, those who occupied those chairs would reach out with their arms and make unintelligible sounds. When I responded by bending over and hugging them, they would melt in my arms. I would speak affirming words to them, and their spirit would calm down, and at least for that moment, life was beautiful. Later, I encountered a chaplain who sang to patients who were no longer verbal. Amazingly, some of them would start tapping their feet to the beat of the music, and some even sang the words with them. They could not speak, but the music touched something in the brain that responded. It is interesting that so many of those caregivers who demonstrated intentional, sacrificial love for their family member who was suffering from the results of Alzheimer's disease had a strong faith in God. More than one said, "I could not make it without God and my church family." I am convinced that God wants everyone to experience His love and then to share that love with all whom we encounter. By nature, we are selfish. We love those who love us. When we receive God's love, we are empowered to love even those who do not or cannot love us. This is the love that I have seen demonstrated by so many caregivers. When I discovered the concept of the five love languages in my counseling practice, I never dreamed that the original book would sell over 10 million copies in English and be translated into over 50 languages around the world. The series of books that followed, The Five Love Languages of Children and versions for teenagers, singles, men, and military couples, have helped millions of people express love more effectively in their marriage, parenting, and friendships. I never thought about its application to the Alzheimer's journey. However, I am excited to see how this book will help those who walk this unchosen road. If you find the book helpful, I hope you will share it with your friends who walk a similar path. Ed and Rebecca, A Love Story. It was a beautiful North Carolina morning in August 2013. Rebecca and I, Ed, were sipping our coffee on the back porch, part of our morning ritual. Without warning, the awful moment I had long dreaded finally arrived. Rebecca looked at me and said, "I have no idea who you are." Her blank stare confirmed that she really meant it. "But, sweetie, I am your husband, Ed. You are my wife. We've been married for 33 years." This clue, more like a plea, didn't help. The pain of the moment drove me from the porch into the house. Tears streaming down my face, I stood before our family portrait taken only months before at Thanksgiving. I looked into the faces of our daughter, Erin, her husband, Darian, their 2-year-old son, Paul, and our other daughters, Leah and Carrie, sweet Rebecca, and me. Mama has forgotten us. We're gone.